Coffee with Kenobi presents Resistance Reactions.
All pilots to your station.
You ready?
Let's do this.
Kasuda, good luck on tomorrow's big race.
I don't need luck. Here we go.
You can't handle the hype. Line them up.
Follow my signals.
Get ready to be impressed.
When it comes to your mission at the spot, I don't have anything to do with it.
The First Order is clearly making weapons.
We're going to need all the help we can get.
I want the station completely destroyed.
It's been too long since we've seen some action.
You showing up always means trouble.
And now, here are your hosts, Aaron Harris and David Modders.
Oh, this is exciting. I appear to be tingling all over.
Well, Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome back to Resistance Reactions. I am one half of your hosting team. I am Aaron Harris, and joining me is the Chewie to my Han, the R2 to my 3PO, all the duos just have jumped out of my mind right now. I don't know why. The Ezra to my Kanan, I don't know. It is the David Modders. David, how you doing?
Good, buddy. As always, ready to fly, and I'll always be your co-pilot, buddy.
Hoorah, my friend, hoorah. So, Happy New Year, everybody. I know, I hope everybody had a safe and happy New Year and a happy holidays, wherever you may be. This is a special Resistance Reactions. We are not covering an episode in here. This episode, we are covering 12 mini episodes. That's right. You don't need to rewind or check your ears. We are covering the 12 shorts, Star Wars Resistance shorts that were released throughout the month of December during the mid-season break. These things came out of nowhere. They were a big surprise. I was ecstatic when they announced it, and I thoroughly enjoyed them. What'd you think of the shorts overall, David?
Oh, definitely. You know, some had already come out when we were, I think, recording our last episode there in December, and I had encouraged people to definitely give them a look, and one of them had an OP Pit sighting, and hopefully they found that. We'll talk about which one it was in, and but I like them. They're fun. It's neat to see these. I have on my notes here written a lot of POV, different points of view. So that was fun to see. And so, yeah, I'm excited to go through these.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of point of views in these episodes. And I love how they shifted them around. They released three episodes a week through the month of December. So three a week. That's a total of 12 episodes. So let's not hold back. Let's jump into week one. Which released three episodes. Let's start with the first one, which was The Search for Kaz. In that episode, BB-8 is sent by Yeager to locate Kaz. While running around the Colossus, he bumps into Buggles and is on quite the adventure looking for Kaz. How'd you feel about this one, David?
This is one of the ones I did. I really liked the point of view from BB-8's eye, running into Buggles, going and talking to Aunt Z as well, and of course I love the ending. I know they're short, minute and 25 something, but BB-8's head at the very end, and then there's Kaz like nothing happened. It's cute. It's a fun little thing, and of course, you know, anything with BB-8 is it's going to be tops in my book. I love that droid.
Oh yeah, it was a lot of fun. I thoroughly enjoyed this one. It was a great way to kick off these shorts. I love how he just went all over the Colossus. We saw him exploring the marketplace. He winds up at Aunt Z's looking for Kaz. Then when he goes back to Jaeger's garage to report to Jaeger, he can't find him. There's Kaz already there, and then he's like, "Can you go find Jaeger? We can't find him."
and
the whole facepalm essentially is what he did. He just dropped his dome to the ground, but essentially just a giant double facepalm BB-8 did. It was really great. I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.
It was a good jump off for it. I like what you said, though. I didn't think about it, But I like your description of a big giant facepalm with BB-8 putting his head down. But it was cute. I wouldn't be surprised if there's another one where he's out then searching for Yeager. But there was a good little ending. Cute.
Yes, it really was. It really was. The next episode that we had, episode 2 of the shorts, was Dart and Cover. This one actually was one of my favorites. Kaz is actually playing darts versus Bucket there at Aunt Z's. And, of course, Tora's there, and Niku's there, and Kaz just, of course, nails the bullseyes and everything. Then, of course, Bucket gets his turn and wheels up, and he, like, nails the first two bullseyes. Then the second one hits the top of the board and ricochets away and starts ricocheting all over Aunt Z's, and Kaz is like, "Ha, you missed!" And, of course, it ricochets right into Kaz's backside, which was absolutely hysterical. I thoroughly enjoyed that, and I think what really sold, what really made it even better, is Niku then, when he sees it's Bucket's turn, he's like pulling Tora in front of him, saying, "I think I'll stand back here," like using Tora for protection. How do you feel about Dart and Cover, David?
Oh yeah, well, you know, one of the things I liked the most about it, I thought you were just about to say it there, was getting to see Bucket with his helmet off. Mm-hmm. He takes it off, and you know, to be able to put the darts in there. So it was kind of neat to see him without that on. You and I have consistently, people can go back and listen, you and I have consistently asked for more Bucket. And so when I saw that they were going to have one of these with Bucket in it, I was really, really happy about it. I'm liking him, and I still want more. So this whetted the appetite a little bit.
Oh, it sure did. And in a later episode, we do get more Bucket, so we'll get there eventually. But yeah, this was a great one. I enjoyed it. It had just a nice scene of everybody just relaxing, having a good time, and Bucket stealing the moment at Kaz's expense. So
yeah,
it was definitely a good one. So. The next one was called Niku's Reward. This one, of course, starred Niku and Yeager. Yeager decides to treat Niku to lunch because of all of his hard work. He chooses a Gorg. The Gorg escapes, pretty much destroys the marketplace. BB-8 catches it, and he changes his mind and wants Bantha milk. So this one was a cute one. What did you think of Niku's Reward, David?
Oh yeah, I love it. It's, of course, you have to, you know, torment everybody's soul, destroy the marketplace, and I guess I don't want a Gorg after all. And it's always fun to hear Bantha and milk mentioned. It makes me think of A New Hope, obviously. Both those words, milk and Bantha. But of course, you and I think that this is the biggie, right? This is the OP Pit sighting.
Yep.
And so I put a little note here next to OP Pit. And I put always in the right place. And when I was watching this again, I told you that I watched all 12 again. I was watching, and man, OP Pit, he knows when people are going to throw something out, you know, or throw something on the ground. Like, bam, he's right there. And I kind of noticed it before in an episode, but he did it again here, so that was kind of cool. But this might put it up there at the top. Anything, you know, our unofficial mascot, if you've got OP Pit, you're looking pretty good. So, you know, there's the first three, and they're all pretty good, especially with OP Pit.
Oh, exactly. And you bring up him always showing up when somebody's throwing something on the ground or something force sensitive, maybe.
Yeah.
Jedi Master OP Pit.
We're saying it right now. Remember, we got to say these things. You did it before with Callus, you know, coming over to the good side. So I think that'd be a fun little underbelly, a little undercurrent there of a show. And if OP Pit was a little bit force sensitive, you know, maybe he just has good timing. But I like yours. I like that he's force sensitive. We're going with it.
Yeah, I like the force sensitive idea myself, so so we'll go with that.
I would ever blow this out of proportion with OP Pit, but since he is our unofficial mascot, he probably is force sensitive. I mean, it just makes sense.
Exactly. It most definitely does. So, all right. So the next three episodes that came out in week two of December, I have to say, these three actually are my favorite that came out. Especially this next one, number four, the fourth one is When Thieves Drop By. All three of these episodes, with Thieves Drop By and the next two, we'll discuss All-Star, Flix, and Orca. Of course, from the Department of Acquisitions there. Just great characters, great comic relief, and this was no shortage of it. They get robbed, and the Acquisitions gets robbed, and they basically just load the guy up with everything that he could want, plus more, to the point where he can like barely move. Then they move him over to the spot, then they hit the trap door and he falls into the water.
It was great. I love that.
It was perfect. It was so funny. And as you're looking up, I love how the camera angles are in this too, because they're looking up from the trapdoor up at Orca and Flix after the guy's fallen through, which I enjoy too, because it's one of those snaggletooth creatures. Not to steal your creature corner thunder, but that's what it was. But,
right.
But I love how they're looking up at Flix and Orca and they're laughing and they're like, "Oh, you come back. Thank you for shopping." As the guy falls probably to his death and into the water.
Yeah.
Great, great episode. What did you think of this one, David?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this, like you said, these three are great. You know, the persons that they have voicing Flix and Orca are just, you know, great comedy as well. Bobby Moynihan does Orca.
Mm-hmm.
And Flix is what? Jim?
Rash.
Is it? Oh, okay. Okay. There you go. Those guys are great. They've got perfect comedic timing. And I love the animation on this. It is Snivians, right? When I was growing up, they were Snaggletooths. Of course, they're officially called Snivians now, and I really again thought about my two Snivians that I have from 1977, a blue one and a red one. And so this episode was great, not only because of Flix and Orca, but again reminding me of my childhood, and you can't beat that. So that a lot of fun. I love seeing the Snivians be the baddies, and Flix and Orca just not even. They're so used to this. It was just great.
Oh, yeah. It was great. I enjoyed it. There was a lot of comedic elements to it that just worked perfectly. These two, I can see, if there ever were spinoffs off these animation shows, these two I could see getting a comedic spinoff.
No doubt.
They just, the way they play off each other is just perfect. Which brings me right into the next short, which is called Treasure Chest. Treasure Chest was fun. This one, we also have Flix and Orca. We also have Sanara San. There, she recovers a mystery chest from one of her salvage runs. They, of course, take it. Flix and Orca take it. And, of course, they're having all this fun trying to break into this mystery chest because who knows what's going to be in there. And they pop it open, and it's full of thermal detonators.
Love it.
And then they accidentally get activated, then they're trying to deactivate them, and of course craziness ensues. They wind up not detonating or blowing anything up, so they take it and dump it back in. They're like, "We're done with those. Never again. I never want to see a chest like that ever." Then they turn around and there's Sanara with another chest saying, "Hey, I found another one." And they're like, "We'll take it," as the chest that they just dropped in the water explodes and water shoots up behind them.
Yes.
Great episode. What'd you think of Treasure Chest?
Well, exactly. Again, just love these two characters and their whole approach to life. But for me, with my alien corner, creature corner, you know, both, I also notice when the bomb goes off, all the thermal detonators, there's certain fish creatures that come up, and of course, first thing I want to know is what are they all about, and what is their story, and all that kind of stuff. So, a little bit of creature corner in this one, and it was good to see Sanara put into one of these shorts as well. But again, like you said, these three are hard to beat with Orca and Flix.
No, it's not. It's not. And one of my favorite lines in any of the episodes came out of this one when Flix looks at Orca and calls him a Tweedlebrain. You Tweedlebrain. I believe that was about the time he grabbed the blaster to shoot the thermal detonator so they wouldn't detonate.
That's great. Yeah, that'll do it. That'll fix everything.
I when in doubt, shoot it. So, not that we endorse that.
Yeah.
Oh, so much fun. So much fun. The next episode also starred Flix and Orca and their pit droid that you've seen roaming around their acquisitions store. This one was called GLN. And it basically just shows us why droids aren't allowed in cantinas, because they can't hold their beverages. How'd you feel about this one, David?
Yes. No, they can't. No, Blurg fire apparently really gets pit droids pretty loopy. So it's pretty funny watching him in the background just tear the place up.
Oh, yeah, he's tearing up Band Z's, having a good old time, and Flix and Orca are just sitting at the bar chatting with Z, having a good old time, just like nothing's going on, and ignoring the fact that GLN is just, you know, bouncing off the place. He's standing on a table ready to fight a whole bunch of other droids. I mean, it was ludicrous, absolutely crazy. So,
just a side note, the nuts on a table there in front of Flix and Orca, If you look real close, they look like small little thermal detonators. The nuts, just some of them, not all of them, but some of them, I'm like, man, it just looks like these small little versions of them without any flashing lights. But anyway, anybody listening, just take a look again. Tell me those don't look like thermal detonators. So
I'm actually looking right now.
Yeah.
Because I did not notice that.
Okay. They're the same shape. They got the, you know, just their one color, though, you know. And but they really do look like little thermal.
They are. You know? They sure do.
Yeah.
They sure do.
I know. I wondered if that's just kind of like a little, they didn't, you know, want to create anything new there. Just kind of said, hey, let's make a small version and just make them kind of brown, you know. So, yeah. Anyways, I thought it was kind of cute. So.
Yeah, I like that. That's good. I didn't catch that the first time. Good eye. So, very good, very good. So, with that, we move into the seventh short that they broadcast, or that they aired. And if you haven't seen these shorts, let me go ahead and throw this out there real quick. If you have not seen these shorts, go find them. They're on YouTube. If you have the Disney Now app, they're on the Disney Now app now. Disney Now app now. Wow, that's a twister.
You said it right, though.
I know. As soon as I said it, I'm like, wow, that just did not sound right, but it is. But you can find them there. I even posted on the Resistance feed a few weeks ago, was it? A week or two ago, the full list of all the episodes and a link to the playlist on YouTube, and I'll make sure I get that reposted when this airs. That way, if you haven't seen them, you can go back and watch these, because they are just they don't spoil anything. If you haven't seen, I know I was talking to one person on Twitter via the Resistance page who is in England and had not seen the episodes yet, because of the delays and stuff between the time they air here and the time they air there. And he was worried about spoilers. These don't spoil anything. These are just fun stories about the characters in the show. There's no spoiler to any episode that you're going to see. So,
yeah.
That's what made it so much fun. All right. And with that, our next episode to discuss is Bucket's Quest. Very simple. Bucket is on a quest to find his bucket. He lost his helmet. And he's looking all for it. He asks Kaz, and Kaz is like, I haven't seen it. So he goes all over the place, winds up at Flix and Orcas, and they're like, we haven't seen it, but we could sell you a new one. And next thing we know, he shows up back in Yeager's garage, finds Tam with BB-8, who is wearing his bucket, and his helmet, and Bucket is wearing his new hat he bought from Yeah, from Flix and Orca, which is basically a lid with a propeller on it. Which was great.
A beanie, right? A beanie.
Exactly, a beanie. And they go from there. Of course, Bucket is not happy. BB-8 has his helmet. Bucket chases BB-8. There's an accident, collision, or something off camera. Next we know, we see the helmet come rolling over to Kaz, who's like, "Hey, I found your helmet." And Bucket rolls up as quick as he can, takes the helmet, kicks Kaz in the shin, and goes away. And there ended the lesson. A funny episode. This one was just great for a laugh. What did you think of Bucket's quest?
Well, exactly. Like we said, we wanted to see more Bucket. We get a little bit more here. You know, again, no helmet, but it is really neat to see at the very, very end that they had switched back around, and BB-8 had the little beanie. It's like this, instead of, you know, all the colors, it was just this metal beanie. It does remind me of C-3PO and R2, that they are the comic relief in a lot of the movies and stuff. And so it is fun to see these two together again. We're going to see a lot of them together. Them playing off each other is cute. And if you're a kid, how can you not laugh at some of this stuff, right?
Oh, exactly. How can you not laugh at it as an adult? I mean, I laugh all the time at these things. This was a fun one. It was just simply a fun, funny episode. Especially when he kicks Kaz in the shin. That was just perfect. Because he has that type of pretentious relationship there with Kaz. I think he's the one that tolerates Kaz the least.
Yes, he does, yeah.
All right, so we shift gears a little bit away from our Team Fireball, and we start looking at Aces in the next one. Our next short was called Unmotivated. This one stars Hype Faison, as well as Flix and Orca. And Hype takes his astromech, his R4-T77, to Flix and Orca for repair. He thinks he's got a bad motivator. So they're like, "Yeah, we'll take a look at him. Motivators aren't cheap, you know." He's like, "Just take care of him. He's still my baby." Which was great. And of course, they get him back in the back. And of course, there's really nothing wrong with R4. He is putting the whooping on Flix and Orca as they are trying to get him down for the count to see what's wrong. They wind up finally getting him down after Orca goes 8 seconds on an 8 second bull ride, essentially is what that was, as he's riding R4 around the back of the store. Cute episode. Had some laughs. What'd you think of Unmotivated?
Well, I think instead of Hype, I think the two Snivians should have brought this astromech in, and I think they would have been much more successful with dealing with Orca and Flix. I just wrote down the word personality, and this R4 unit just works them over. That's what I wrote down. Orca and Flix get worked over. So that was cute. A lot different than the Snivians. They got worked over.
Oh, they definitely did. This was a lot of fun. R4 was definitely unique. It was a different shape droid than what we're used to seeing in an astromech. He had a little more unique design than what we've seen, which I thought was pretty cool. And it was fun to see Hype not being, how arrogant he normally is, actually showing some emotion and actually caring for somebody. So that was pretty good.
Donald Faison does a great job voicing that scene there. That was good.
Absolutely. He sure does. He does a great job there. And he does a great job in the next episode, too, because the next episode, The Need for Speed, and no, I'm not talking about Top Gun, although we are talking about some Top Guns. The Aces are racing for Hype's top spot, and Tora is the... is right there in the mix. Great race episode. We get to see Tora and Hype just basically smack talk each other throughout the episode, which ultimately ends with Hype winning the race and retaining the number one spot in the on the Colossus. So a lot of fun. I enjoyed seeing the racing. Racing is something I know we've wanted to see more of. Since they hyped this as a racing show, we've seen very little racing. I've thoroughly enjoyed seeing that. How'd you feel about the need for speed?
Yeah, I like it. I really like how it ends with Hype. Almost, it sounds like he's going to praise Tora for pushing him, but he praises himself. And that was a cute little twist. And of course, for me, with my alien corner, creature corner, Beast is in there. We see him very clearly. Mm-hmm. We see the two Snivians again that we saw in a previous one. Apparently, they're back out of the water and, up on the platform cheering people on. And, of course, whenever we get to hear Announcer Guy, I really like that, the guy from Episode 1. So we hear him again. So real nice. I like all different aspects of this particular short. Real good.
Yes, it definitely was. It was great hearing Greg Proops voice the announcer again. That was awesome. Definitely great. A lot of fun there. The Aces continue to tear things up in the next episode as well, which is 60 Seconds to Destruction. 60 seconds of action in this episode as well. Great episode. We see the Aces racing to stop a crashing fuel tanker. They wind up latching onto it and just trying to stop it from colliding with the Colossus. It's heading right toward Grimace. He's heading right toward Grimace. He's just standing there like, they finally get it to stop, and he passes out.
I love it.
It was very funny. Great episode. Highlight of the episode, Bo Keevil's first words.
Yes.
He's never said anything in any of the episodes of Resistance, but in this less than 2 minute short, he says two full sentences. It's out of control, and we're not going to make it.
Yeah.
A very positive fellow.
Yes. I tell you, there's a couple things. The guy in the freighter, the fuel tanker, sounds like Dave Filoni. He's done voices before in Rebels and stuff like that. And I just think that's him, you know, because I've heard him do different ones, and he tries to cover his voice up. But, you know, I think that's him. I'm not totally sure. Obviously, like we said, Grimace, purple guy's in there. They had the flying bird, which we will talk about when we get to Bebo, when we actually cover that episode. But yeah, and then of course Bo Keevil as well. I really love seeing the Aces, not just like they talk about flying to entertain people on the platform, or you know shooting at you know monsters or pirates. But in this case, here's another way that they serve the Colossus, which is you know protecting it from a ship that's really you know out of control. So I thought that was really cool to see how they can do that too.
Oh, it really was. It was a lot of fun. To see that happen, we find out it was a pirate attack that would cause that ship to be out of control, unable to change its course or slow down. And they really work together as a team, even though they're constantly racing each other for the top spot. They are a good team to protect the Colossus, and it was a lot of fun to see them work that out.
Oh, definitely.
All right, so we have two episodes left. Let me flip the page of my notes here. Two episodes left, and we're still working on the Aces. This one, we're focusing in on Tora, Tora Doza, who is helping Kaz test the thrusters on the fireball in this episode called The Rematch. Kaz is in the fireball. Tora's in her ship. And basically, they're going to launch it and just run some tests on the fireball. And Kaz is kind of looking at this as a rematch for the race he lost to Tora earlier in the season. Whereas Tora keeps saying, "This is not a race. This is not a race. But if it is, you would lose. But this is not a race." And it was great, and they launched, and they're having a good old time, and still a little bit of smack talk back and forth about the race. And next thing you know, the pilot stick breaks off in Kaz's hands, and he loses control of the fireball, and it almost turns into a fireball.
Right.
But fortunately, it didn't. It just crash lands in Jaeger's garage, where Kaz pops out. And he's like, see, it's in one piece. It's in one piece. And all of a sudden, about five or six pieces fall off. Great episode. A lot of fun. It was great seeing Tora and Kaz interact in this. What was your thoughts on the rematch?
Oh, definitely. And just as you said, I thought for sure as it pulls into the Jaeger's garage, I thought, oh my gosh, like, it almost had some little bit hidden in it, almost like she's got it where it counts or got some special modifications to be able to pull it around, land. And I love the canopy coming back down and knocking Kaz right down into the seat back in there. That's fun.
Yeah, knocks him upside the head there.
Exactly. But definitely more physical humor, just like in some of these other episodes. It is fun to see them interact. Again, I think it'll be interesting to see if they can get this fireball up and running to top notch. I think they will. That'd be a neat thing to see, and we've talked about that a little bit. Maybe even Tam getting her own ship, too. But another good one.
Oh, definitely. Hopefully Tam does get her own ship, and I'm sure we'll see the fireball soon enough get in shape and in some action as well. So who knows? All right, our last of the shorts, number 12, Buggles Day Out. If you ever remember a movie from, late 90s, I want to say it was, called Baby's Day Out. This is pretty much the same thing. Buggle gets away. Buggle, of course, is Tora's pet. She gets Tora, for some whacked out reason, decides to leave Buggles with Kaz. And, of course, before Kaz even realizes it, Buggles is gone. He's crawling on girders outside the ship, or outside the Colossus. And Kaz is trying to chase him down. And eventually, Tora shows back up. She's like, where's Buggles? And next thing you know, you see the fireball take off, and it's Buggles at the helm. Very interesting episode. And a lot of throwbacks to that movie I mentioned, too, Baby's Day Out, where Buggles is crawling across the girder, the steel girder there outside the Colossus. Baby does that in the movie as well. A lot of fun in this episode. Pretty cute. What'd you think of Buggles Day Out?
I don't know what it is, but I love Buggles. I loved Buggles in the episode where he premiered. He pees purple. He can fly the fireball, apparently. It's better than Kaz. And I love that. I don't know. I'm smiling here while I'm talking about it. It's just, you know, kind of the last clip, it seems like you just see his face, you know, just looking up. Just, I don't know. See, I'm just cracking up as I'm talking about this. I don't know. I hope we have a lot more of Buggles. I kind of like you said, not just as a child, but as an adult, I'm just getting a kick out of it. I think, too, the thing that I love about Kaz is the, you know, like when you see other characters in other movies or comic books or animated shows, you know, the person that male or female who's always getting tormented, they're like, oh, come on, you know. And in this instance, it just feels like that with Kaz. I mean, obviously, like you said, Tora, why? He's the last person in the world you want to drop your dog off to, or not dog, but Buggles off to. But of course, you have to have a whole scene. But real fun way to end these 12 shorts. But I can take more Buggles anytime. That guy cracks me up.
Yeah, it's definitely a cutie. I'm surprised we haven't seen any plush Buggles out for sale yet. So,
oh gosh,
I'm sure they're coming.
Oh, so. They'll sell a million of those things or more.
Oh gosh, will they ever? So, all right. So, David, that's the 12 episodes, the 12 shorts, Star Wars Resistance shorts. What are your overall thoughts, your closing thoughts on these shorts?
Well, they're great. I like you said, they came out of the blue. We didn't know this at the start of the season. It was really fun to have them in December during the break. And the first thing I was thinking about was I hope they'll do this again. You know, maybe a year from now we'll be covering, you know, more. Who knows? But it just seems like they have the ability, you know, particularly like as you and I have talked many times with my creature/alien corner, they have this ability to create so much more, it seems to me anyways, more quickly than they could in Clone Wars and Rebels. So so I love this kind of stuff, and I can go for another 12. They'll just put them out, I'll watch them, and they're quick and fun, but I can't help but think they're going to do more.
Oh, I have no doubt. These have been very successful, very well received. They're great. They were fun for a good laugh during the holidays. They were just enjoyable. They weren't there wasn't a lot of there wasn't a lot of depth. It was a lot of comedy, a lot of laughter, but it did advance some of the storylines. Well, not necessarily storylines, but some of the understanding of the characters. We got a nice swash of characters throughout these shorts. We got to see a lot of interactions between them and other people and other species on the Colossus. And we got to see some characters we haven't seen a lot of, between Bucket and Flix and Orca, and spend a lot more time with them. So a lot of fun. I thoroughly enjoyed this these shorts, and I'm going to echo what you said. I hope they do this again. I would love to see some of these throughout the summer, between the seasons, next Christmas. I'd love to see that. It's going to be great. I hope to see a lot more of these. So, lot of fun. So with that, let's go ahead and close things out here. We're not going to grade these because there's 12. We're not going to grade all of them, but we're not going to grade them at all because there's a minute and a minute and a half episodes. They don't need a grade. It's like a pop quiz. So,
right.
So
go enjoy them. Just go watch them and enjoy.
Just go watch them. Go enjoy them. You don't need a grade on these. Just know that they're awesome. They're great, and we do highly recommend these.
That's right. That's right.
So with that, let me play this again because I did not unmute the channel.
But how were we going to communicate at any given moment, Kaz?
That's a good question, Niku. Let's go ahead and let people know how they can get a hold of us. David, if somebody wants to talk Resistance or Star Wars, how would somebody go about doing that with you?
Oh, definitely. Two spots. Twitter. It is David _Modders, and the last name is Modders, and then over on email is dmodders@coffeewithkenobi.com.
Excellent. And of course, for me, right now the best place to get a hold of me is just simply through the Resistance Reactions feed. I'm keeping an eye on that Twitter feed there at Resist Reactions. You can email me personally at aharris@coffeewithkenobi.com. That always throws me off. I don't know why. It's the two @s right there, so close together. But you can email me there, aharris@coffeewithkenobi.com. Definitely send us your thoughts and feedback on these shorts or on anything Resistance related going forward. We'd love to hear from you. David, my friend, fun catching up with you for a few minutes to go over these shorts. We will look for our next episode covering Bibo, which was the first episode of 2019. We'll be seeing that shortly. David, thanks again, my friend. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Resistance Reactions. This is the Resistance Podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along. Move along.